Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. The voice of the Titans, Mike Heath, joins us in 15 minutes right here on 104.5 The Zone. We're live from Titans training camp. They have wrapped up practice number 5. Tomorrow is a day off. And today was a solid day for the defense with more. Paul Kucharski, who has just listened in to the Mike Vrabel press conference, wrapping up today's Monday session. What stood out to you?
Well, it's really almost scrimmage-like situation today, not periods traditionally. Offense trying to drive the ball and ultimately, you know, putting themselves in position to attempt a field goal or punt or score a touchdown. And you know, both units moving up and down the field, special teams included. He said, Vrabel said, kind of tying together all the install and situational stuff that they've worked on to this point. The big play out of that, a 4th-and-2 where they went for it, and Mariota hit Taywan Taylor for probably about a 20-yard gain that gained them, no matter what they did once they were down there, Vrabel said, that play got us to a Ryan Suckup field goal. You know, then maybe we go score a touchdown, maybe we don't. But that play on 4th-and-2 and Taylor stepping up to make that catch guarantees us of an attempt at 3 points. So he was very pleased with that. Coming out, Mariota had a couple bad throws right out of the gate. A short middle landed on the turf in between a bunch of defenders with nobody on offense around. Looked like a miscommunication thing. A little bit later, he threw, he bounced one at the feet of Devin Ross on a quick left at the quick game. Vrabel had an interesting thing about the quick game. He said, I've never really been in the position before now to kind of discover this. He said, a lot of times you see a guy with good anticipation and you say, oh, he got it out really quick. And it's not necessarily that his mechanics get it out really quick. It's that he sees it and gets it there no matter what his delivery is. So he was pointing out that, you know, that sometimes quick release gets mislabeled as good anticipation disguised as quick release, whether the guy has quick release or not. I thought that was a interesting nugget.
Let's discuss the fumbles.
Yeah, so Mariota had one bad fumble running. This is kind of reverted to 2 years ago, just running. Escaped the pocket, swept to his left, ball just comes out. No contact, no nothing. I don't think he was changing hands. I think he just dropped it. Not good. I mean, it's one moment.
Is he carrying the ball like he's going to throw it? Like, is the ball down in his possession, or is it tucked away like a run? You know what I mean?
I may be remembering it incorrectly. He had not yet tucked it like a run, but I think he was still holding it, that he could have cocked his arm if he wanted, but it was down. You know, so he's holding it running.
Yeah, I thought that's where he had the fumble issues a couple years ago,
I think
too.
That's a good observation there. Darren Bates got to Gabbard in the back of the end zone for a safety, which was very good. David Flewellen had a good probably 7-8 yard run that got them out of another scenario where they were pinned deep there, which I thought was good. Taylor also had a catch, turned a fumble. Now, this is exactly the sort of play that we would have debated last year. I think, Chad, one of those plays where he caught it and turned, and I think we would have all judged it a catch, but maybe under the old rule there would have been a debate about whether he completed the catch process or not. So it might have been ruled an incompletion. I thought very much catch, fumble. He turned and made a football move, and Byard collected that one. Byard also collected Mariota's fumble, Byard around, as you would expect him to be, right? Tight win. Oh, so that throw to Taylor was into a pretty tight window. I'm now catching up to it in the two minute drill thing. And I thought I talked to Vrabel also about the day off for Corey Davis and about guys not taking the mental reps. You guys might jump on this. I don't know. He said, if I stand out there for 2.5 hours, my back starts to hurt. Like, if I'm getting a day off, I want a day off. And they've got a program in with Todd Torricelli, the head trainer, where they go through whatever the training stuff is, which might be cold tub and stretching and all of that stuff, but they're off their feet generally. And while they're doing something that qualifies as work, they're not working. They're not exerting themselves, so to speak. So a day off in this system is a day off, and he values that work inside with Torricelli more than he values the mental reps out here. So if you earn an off day, you're getting, well, literally, I mean, you're not getting sent home to go watch, binge watch, but you're not asked to be out in the heat.
It's that phrasing, though, that I don't agree with. I can appreciate Vrabel because he played the game. He's been there as a player. He knows how players respond, and he knows what's going on behind the scenes with how Corey Davis is picking up on the offense. But to say that Corey Davis earned a day off on the fourth day of camp is ridiculous. Corey Davis needs to earn the fact that he's the fifth overall pick. That's where I view it from. At day number four of camp is different than week three of camp after a preseason game, to me.
Well, I agree. I just think, you know, it's a different coach doing different things, and I don't want to prejudge it because it's something that we haven't seen before. If he thinks it's better for the team for this guy to be inside working with the trainer for a day. I didn't notice him a whole lot. But that could be me. I came and went, and they were running more team stuff, so there weren't drills to see him in, per se.
One thing I do want to ask, today was the day, and Adoree came over to join us, and Adoree Jackson, before we went on the air, was like, man, I love today, because I prefer just putting the ball down and going. You know, not different periods where you're breaking up practice and doing different things. Put the ball down and let's go. And he said he really liked it. He said the defense responded well to that.
Yeah.
Was this unscripted? Was the offense just in the moment, play in, offense break the huddle?
I mean, I think it's unscripted in that the plays were accepted. You know, they're not taking all the snaps from the same thing. So if you hit a 20-yard pass, you move the ball 20 yards.
Okay, it's not second and five after a 20-yard game.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, when they wound up in the fourth and two where they went for it, they wound up in the fourth and two. Now, he said LaFleur was calling plays that probably give Marcus either-or choice. There'll be times where he's got a full menu to choose from. But in these scenarios, it was more like, here's the play, and I think he knows, like, off of that play, he's either told or he knows, off of that play, if the look is bad, the alternative is this. And so he had the freedom to make that, flip that switch to go from A to B. But that's the extent of it.
The roster move of the day, Rishard Matthews placed on PUP.
By the way, nothing new. He was placed on PUP at the beginning. We weren't informed. So when guys reported on that Sunday, right, Supernal got put on PUP, Conklin got put on PUP because they reported on that Sunday, they put out a release on it. Rishard didn't report, wasn't asked to report until Tuesday or Wednesday of that week. He was placed on PUP when he got here. They didn't communicate that to us. It's not a federal issue, but he's been on PUP since he's been here. So there's not a new development there. It's just a revelation about something that wasn't conveyed.
So no Matthews, of course, no Supernaw, no Conklin, no Arakpo today. Rashawn Evans remains out. What is that? Is there any clarification on what his issue is?
No.
I guess that means we're not going to get one, or how long he'll be out.
Maybe in time. There was a good question asked that John Harbaugh said something about rookies not always calloused the way you would want them to be. And he was asked if Rashawn Evans maybe had that going, and he kind of steered away from it. You know, he kind of lumped the rookies all in together, said, you know, they're working their way through it. He did say, and he was using defense as an example, but I'm sure this goes either way. He wants guys. If veteran guys, if they see a player that they don't think knows what he's doing, to tell Pease that not to put him in. Now, he said it hasn't happened, but that's the standard that he wants, and he wants the veterans to tell the coordinator if somebody shouldn't be in because he doesn't know his stuff and because they can't count on him. So, you know, early we talked about be willing to say, hey, I'm lost here, I made a mistake. We're past that stuff now. If you're not keeping up, you're out. Julius Wormsley, a guy he mentioned, and Ferker both got more playing time today. More notable, Ferkser, less notable because Stalker was out and because Supernaw is out and because Johnny Smith was out. More notable that Wormsley worked higher, worked some with the ones. Casey was out for a little while, at least one series, and he was playing with Daquan Jones and Austin Johnson. I think that's a pretty good reward for a job well done so far, and I think he's distinguished himself as as the sixth defensive lineman at this stage.
And I like the detail that Vrabel went into yesterday on why Wormsley had earned it. He said they had been working on body lean and pad level on the defensive line, and that he was a guy that stood out in that area. And that's why he deserved the, what did he call it? Like, there's a, to be able to coach a guy and tell him you want it done something, you want something done a certain way, there need to be small victories. There just can't be, you're a third team and you continue to be third team, even though I'm telling you that you're doing things the right way. And he said that Julius Wormsley was one of those
players.
And
I love that. If you stand out in the drill where he's asking you to do this, and Julius Wormsley's not a nobody. He's got some ranking here. But if you stand out in that, I think we've seen a billion guys who think it's hopeless. You know, if you're a third-team defensive tackle, no matter how well you do that, the best you could hope for was a really good pat on the back from your position coach, who then, you know, might talk you up in a meeting where you're going position by position about how guys are doing, but then they move right back to whatever they were doing before.
There's the most detailed report you're going to find. It's every day that we're out here at training camp.
Here's
from the Midday 180.
One expression to keep your eye on, GTHI. Is that, have you heard of, this is not GTFO.
This is different from GTFO.
Yeah, right, there's a lesson on a new one. This is GTHI. This was what Mike Vrabel called the fourth down play, Marcus to Taywan Taylor on a 4th-and-2. GTHI, gotta have it.
I prefer GTFO.
Yeah, I do too, but hey, there's circumstances for both.